Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And here he is, live, Michael Savage, back from vacation. I was supposed to be off all week, but I came in today for the primaries, five states, by the way. Some think it's not a big deal because the fix is in. I think it's a big deal because of the turnout issues that we're going to be watching for today. I mean, the fact of the matter is primaries are in California, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, North Dakota, and South Dakota. It's an important day of primaries, important enough for me to, come back from my vacation. I'll be here with you today and tomorrow at the very least, because this is the fulcrum of the future of America, and I want to be here with you. And I think that in order to bring you into the discussion in a more fundamental way that will make it more interesting for you, we'll talk about the results as they start to come in or things like that. But we all know that the nominees are going to be Trump and Hillary. That we know, unless something happens. Now, the communist from New York, the seltzer man Cometh, is still screaming and foaming at the lips that he's in there to the end and this and that. Whatever. We'll have to watch what he has to say. The big story out there is, of course, the Donald Trump issue that they're making such a big deal out of. I mean, the fact is that we've had a racist administration for eight straight years. Yes, I'll stick by those words. If you don't like it, you know what? Defend your position. We have had a subtle racist administration for eight straight years. It started from almost the get-go. The fact of the matter is there's been a war on white police in this country, stimulated by Barack Obama and Eric Holder and others in the administration, and hardly a word was said by the solenterates in the media every step of the way. Now, all of a sudden, Donald Trump makes one word, says one word about a judge of Mexican heritage and how he might be biased, and the whole world falls in on him, as you would expect. So let's put this in context. And in order to put it in context, and in order for me to further my proof that we have a racially charged administration, let me put it that way, since I'm a politician. We have a racially charged administration that never lets a statement out of their lips that doesn't somehow steam up the races against each other. Here is the First Lady herself, none other than Moochie Obama, Michelle Obama, who has abused the taxpayer unlike any of the last number of First Ladies. And I stand by those words. If you don't like what I'm saying, let's look at the facts. The last we checked, she had 72 personal assistants at public expense. The last we checked, she has abused the taxpayer at every turn by taking a second Air Force One on a most recent junket to South America, strictly for tourist reasons. And there was not one word from ABC News on that one, okay? They refuse to see what's in front of their eyes. Now, here she goes, a woman who has been privileged from birth, never suffered a day in her life, never really worked a day in her life for anything that was not really given to her. She came from middle-class black parents in Chicago and makes believe that she was born in poverty. It's sickening, by the way. And she does it for one reason only, and that is for the reasons that they're trying to blame Trump for. So let's listen to your First Lady, Michelle Obama, as she tries to stir up the masses at NYU just last weekend in clip number one. Jim, fire away.
It's the story that I witness every single day. When I wake up in a house that was built by slaves, and I watch my daughters, beautiful black young women,
head off to school, waving
goodbye to their father, the President of the United States,
waving goodbye,
the son of a man from Kenya who came here to America.
Every word out of her mouth is a racially charged word. Keep going, Michelle. Go ahead. Keep going. That's it. That's the speech. This is before a college class. This is not the first time she's tried to stir children up against others. This is not the first time, but let's hope it's the last time as a public figure. I doubt that it will be. And remember this. Her and her husband, Barack Obama, rose through the ranks of politics by using these tactics of race baiting and of class warfare. And that is why the country is in the state that it is in right now. So having said that, you say, okay, we know who they are. Let's say you're even on the middle here. You're not a conservative. You're not really a Republican. You're just in the middle. You say you make a good point. Yes, they've used race as a weapon. And so what's the bigger point? The bigger point is that race is the undertone of American politics and has been for a very long time. This is not something brand new. Let's not make believe that this has not been an issue in America, I don't know, from the get-go. It's always been an issue. So now they're saying that Donald Trump makes one utterance about a judge of Mexican heritage who's biased against him, as though no one's ever implied that there's racial bias in the political system. We all know there is. I grew up in New York, so I'll go back to that as an example. But before I go back to my examples of the race and ethnicity issues in New York judges and whatnot, I know this for a fact. Every time there's a high-profile federal case and there is an individual of an ethnic background, invariably I've seen them select, whoever runs the world, a person of that ethnic heritage as the presiding judge. So if the person is of Hispanic heritage, it's usually a Hispanic judge. I've seen it over and over again. If there was a Jewish criminal, they usually use a Jewish judge. I've seen it over and over again. This is the way American politics has played for a long time. And I'm as keen an observer of American politics as anyone in the world right now. The fact of the matter is, what Donald Trump is saying is a given. It's not even an oddity. And yet they're making it, turning him to the Ku Klux Klan for saying what is really quite obvious. He said, well, I think we should play the Trump piece, by the way, because now even Paul Ryan, as you well know, is a member of the opposition. He says that Trump's comments on the judge are textbook definition of racist, which is stupid. Everyone is saying the same thing, but my friends, I'm sorry to break the bad news to you, but the judge presiding over Donald Trump's case of Trump University, and I'm not even sitting here talking about that, because I don't know the ins and outs of that case, but what Trump was saying was he can't get a fair trial because of Judge Curiel, and he's asking for another judge. Now, why is he saying that? Is it only because Judge Curiel is of Mexican heritage? No. That's not at all why he's saying it. It's because Judge Curiel, if that's how you pronounce his name, it's a curious name, by the way, are really quite astonishingly racially charged. Judge Curiel is or has been a member of the San Diego La Raza Lawyers Association. La Raza means the race. I was the first in the media to translate that for you long before anyone else did. La raza refers only to one race, not to all races. La raza. Judge Curiel is a member of Hispanic Bar Association. Judge Curiel is a member of Latino Judges Association. Judge Curiel is a member of the National Hispanic Prosecutors Association. My friends, all of these radical groups defend illegal aliens. And that is why Donald Trump questions this judge's neutrality. You see how it is. And this is not saying anything about Mexicans. If it was a Mexican judge, it was not a member of La Raza and a member of all of these radical left-wing groups, I don't think it would be an issue. Now, do I have to reverse it for you? If we had, let's say, a Barack Obama candidacy way back in the early days when America was still a rather free nation, and he was still running for office in 07, 08, whenever he was running. I think 07, then he took office in 08. And in 07, that the young senator from Illinois had a case before a white judge. And the white judge was a member of groups that were as closely associated with white supremacist movements as are these organizations associated with, let us say, Hispanic supremacist organizations. Do you think that this black candidate at that time would have a righteously indignant statement to make about the judge not being able to give him a fair judgment? So sometimes you have to reverse things in order to see them as they are. And that's why it's such an important issue. And I want to talk about it. And in order to talk about it rationally on this primary day, we need to play the soundbite itself. Everyone's jumping down Trump's throat, calling him a racist for having said what he said. Let's hear the statement itself. It took us a while, by the way, to find it. Let's listen to it and see what you think.
I have had ruling after ruling after ruling that's been bad rulings, okay? I've been treated very unfairly. Before him, we had another judge. If that judge was still there, this case would have been over 2 years ago. Now I say why. Well, I'm building a wall, okay? And it's a wall between Mexico, not another country. This judge is of Mexican heritage. I'm building a wall, okay? I'm building a wall. We're building a wall. He's a Mexican. We're building a wall between here and Mexico.
Okay, that was enough for the whole world to come down on Donald Trump. The same people who try to stop him from the starting gate are now trying to stop him at the, let's say, finishing gate of the primaries. They don't want him to win. They'll do anything to undermine him. They'll take his own words and use them against him. While Barack Obama gets away with the most vile statements imaginable, moreover, the most vilely, racially charged statements you can ever imagine coming out of his wife's mouth at virtually every time she gives a speech, no one says a word about it. So if you want fairness, let's be fair about it. Let's talk about it. And if you want to sound off on this issue, I would invite you to do so. And you can call me at 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-SAVAGE. And I want to now read for you some of the other stories that caught my attention that I printed up to talk about today. I am asking you, if you are a Sanders voter, for example, in California, and they're giving the nomination to Hillary, okay, I have the California rules. When the election comes around, the general election, are you willing to cross over and vote for Donald Trump because you can't vote for Sanders? Would you rather see Trump win than Hillary win come November? That's a very big, big, big question here. Because in California, which is a huge state, in the general election, under the rules that I investigated, you can vote for any candidate of any party, regardless of what party you're registered with. Did you know that? Now, this means that come November, the Bernie supporters who are disgruntled with Hillary can, in fact, vote for Trump. And I'd like to hear from Sanders voters, supporters, who would rather cross over to Trump and why. Because there's a little overlap between Trump and Sanders with regard to the export of jobs, regulations, etc., the killing of jobs. And I think that there are many Sanders supporters who might just vote for Trump rather than vote for her because we know who she is. I don't have to use any expletives about her. If you say the word Hillary, it becomes a verb right now. If you pull a Hillary on somebody, it is no longer a noun, it's a verb. It's now replaced the name of a person to the action of a being. I'll be right back. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage, 77 WABC.
It is a fact that everyone's jumping all over Trump, saying that he's a racist for bringing up an obvious. And the obvious is the judge is biased. The judge is a biased guy. I mean, you know, he's a human being, number one. We're all biased. We know everyone's biased. I've never met a person who isn't biased, incidentally, of any race. I spent years in a tribal society, and I'll refer to it, in the Fiji Islands in the late 60s, early 70s, when it was still rather, the Fiji Islands were an independent nation until, well, they only became an independent nation in 1970. Let me start again. But when I spent those nights in those villages, the nights I spent with the Melanesian people, the black people who were the indigenous people of the Fijis, I spent all night with them drinking kava kava. Inevitably, they would talk badly about the Indians who lived in the island, the East Indians, who had come there as indentured sugar workers and then wound up saving their money and working very hard and taking over almost all the businesses of Fiji. And then when I'd spend the nights with my Indian friends drinking beer, inevitably they would talk bad talk about the Melanesian people, the Fijians. I, as a white kid sitting there, white young man, a grad student really, how can I take a side in a thing like that? I had friends of both races, and I just saw what goes on in a microcosm of a society. People generally stick to their own kind, and they put down everyone else in plain English. That's all. So what is Trump saying that's so alarming about this? He can't get a fair trial. The judge bringing Trump University case is tied to La Raza. So La Raza means the race. It doesn't mean all races. It doesn't mean kumbaya. He's not tied to La Kumbaya. He's tied to a brown supremacist movement. And the puppeteer in the White House hired the head of La Raza a couple of years ago and put her right into the White House. Did you know that she's in there? Her name is Cecilia Munoz. She ran La Raza for years. I'm the only one in the media who remembers these things. So don't blame me for telling you the facts. You can get mad at me if you want, but I'm right. You're wrong. That's all. 855-400-7282. Line number 8, Kareem W., VNN Radio. Fire away. Go ahead, please.
Yes, listen. This was already discussed this morning. He is not a member of the Rouser.
Well, what do you mean? What was discussed by you and a garbage man? What do you mean, was discussed where?
Sir, I've been listening to you since the building fell in New York City. I've been listening.
Oh, good. I'm glad you've been listening. But what do you mean, it was discussed? I just came on the air 20 minutes ago.
Okay, it was discussed. No, it did not come on the air 20 minutes. This was discussed. I listen to nothing but talk radio.
Well, you're a smart man because at least you get a chance to vent your views. But, Kareem, first of all, thank you for being a listener for so long, even if you disagree with everything I say. That's number one. But I disagree with you because the fact is he's a member of the San Diego La Raza Lawyers Association.
That has nothing to do with the black, with the brown supremacist movement that you're talking about. That has nothing to do.
Wait, excuse me. How do you separate the San Diego La Raza Lawyers Association? How do you separate them from the big La Raza, the Council of La Raza?
Mr. Savage, you have changed.
Kareem, the National Council of La Raza and the San Diego La Raza Lawyers Association are in fact legally separate incorporated entities. Legally separate, right? But philosophically, they're tied at the hip. The two groups are connected to the emergence of MECHA, M-E-C-H-A. Do you remember that group? The Movimiento Estudiantil Chicanos de Aztlán that called for taking back land in the United States of America and reincorporating it into Mexico.
All I'm saying, Mr. Savage, is that...
It's a 1960s radical separatist student movement, MECHA, in California, that espoused the mythical Aztec idea of a nation of Aztlán. Is that what you want in a judge? I'm sorry, you're wrong, Kareem, and I'm sending you government zero.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
DBC.
All right, so the issue is the Trump University case, and I'm not here to even talk about it because I don't know the ins and outs of it. I'm here as a commentator to comment on those who are calling for Trump to disavow his statement that the judge is biased against him because he's of Mexican heritage. I agree with Trump 100%. Why? Because I have found in my lifetime everyone I ever met is biased based on their ethnicity. The only people I've met who are somewhat neutral, I'm going to tell you straight up from the get-go, straight out, because the Caucasians have had power for so long, I've seen the chance of unbias with Caucasian judges. I've seen it in my lifetime. As far as ethnic judges go, I'm sorry to tell you, but they usually use their ethnicity as a lens. That's what I think. I'm giving you one man's opinion. You want to crucify me for my opinion now? Did it become illegal to have an opinion of reality? I have seen ethnicity used as a lens in almost every case. I see it in President Obama for sure. I played you an example of it in Michelle Obama, where everything comes out of her mouth, goes through the filter of race. So now all of a sudden, Trump says a rather mild thing. It's actually quite mild. And the fact is that the judge and the law firm bringing the Trump case are both tied to La Raza. La Raza is a racist organization. Does La Raza stand for black people? Have you ever heard La Raza stand up for a black person in this country? Have you ever heard La Raza go to bat for a person of Asian heritage? Have you ever heard La Raza go to bat for anyone but folks of a certain persuasion? No. They stand only for La Raza, the race. Now, they have a right to do so, by the way. They have a right to be biased towards their race, I suppose. But they don't have a right to bias law cases based on their race. It's illegal. And by definition, the judge should recuse himself. Period. End of story. The judge has to recuse himself. He has to step off this case. And so does the law firm. And you want to hear a little bit more about that rotten law firm? Oh, yeah. Maybe you didn't hear this yet. The best article on this was written by Jerome Corsi today in WorldNet Daily, and I linked it on michaelsavage.com. Judge law firm bringing Trump UK's both tied to La Raza. So let's look at this wonderful law firm that is bringing the case. They're just such a sterling group of people. You'll just love it. The San Diego firm, Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd. Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd. Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd paid $675,000 to the Clintons for speeches. That's to start with. You'll say, well, they're in a long line of people wanting favors from that group. But wait, it gets even better. The law firm's founder is a mega-wealthy San Diego lawyer who served a two-year sentence in federal prison for his role in a kickback scheme to mobilize plaintiffs in class action lawsuits. How many years have I told you that if I had the power, I'd arrest every class action lawyer in America and seize their assets out of their grandmother's account? Those Gulf Streams would be fueled up so fast if I ever took over. Of course, I'm not running for office. I'm giving you a hypothetical, a cartoon version. The first people to remove from this country's dialogue are the class action lawyers. They are the... let's see, Family Show, can't say this. The class action lawyers are the dirt upon which Solenterits crawl. Now, class action lawyers in any other society would be considered criminals. They wouldn't even be considered lawyers. They'd have to live in hiding, like La Cosa Nostra. But because they wrote the laws, they're now allowed to walk around with shirts and ties and go to galas for art shows. And raise money for the opera. And live in condominiums on Park Avenue. Or wherever. But class action lawyers are the lowest level of society. They're not permitted in France and other European. Did you know that? I mean, let's look at Europe. Obama holds them up as a role model. There is no class action lawsuits are allowed in Europe the last I checked. There are very few tort laws. Tort lawyers in Europe. They don't let again, I have to watch out the words. People take offense at what I say. So let's see. Solenterate's as low as I could go. What's below a solenterate? Is there an invertebrate zoologist out there who can give me something lower than a solenterate? Because that's what a class action lawyer would be. And even that would be giving them too much credit. They're not bottom feeders. That's so high. That's so much higher than a class action lawyer. A bottom feeder is already, it's in the mud. And it's much higher than a bottom. The bottom feeder is much higher than what a class action lawyer is. These people provide no valuable service for society other than stealing and robbing from companies that provide actual products. So if a medical company, let's say a medical apparatus company, how would they call them, makes something like a hip joint that works, and it saves millions of people have no agony for years. These solenterates. These low-life rats, I'll use bed bugs. I like bed bug best because everyone hates bed bugs. Some people probably have pet worms in our sick society. I don't think there's anyone sick enough to have bed bug as a pet yet, but I haven't looked into it. There may be someone who does, but I would say the class action lawyer is a bed bug. Everyone hates bed bugs. It crosses all races, right? Do we all agree, ladies and gentlemen, in the audience, they all hate bed bugs? The class action lawyer is a bed bug. It provides no service whatsoever. All it does is infect everything it touches. So a medical device company makes an apparatus that they kill themselves to make it work. They do the best they can to make sure it's safe. They release it into the market after being tested by the FDA, and it works for most people. Then a few people get hurt by it, and these bed bugs try to bust the company and steal every asset that they have. And they give the plaintiffs next to nothing. And these bed bugs take all the money and run. Any society, they're arrested immediately, their assets seized. They're given 30 days to get out of the nation, to sell their assets and get out of the country. If they don't do it, their assets are seized. I'm joking, I have no power, I'm just one man, I'm just venting. I am venting because I know how evil they are. They have gone after every decent organization that has produced a viable product that you could imagine. You want me to talk about mesothelioma? Would you like me to talk about those people in the mesothelioma business? Would you like me to compare the mesothelioma bed bugs with some other people in society? Well, anyway, you get the picture. So, to make a long story short, this bed bug firm that is representing the plaintiffs in the Trump U case, this bed bug firm has a founder who served a 2-year sentence in federal prison for his role in a kickback scheme to put together plaintiffs for class action lawsuits. That's who this bed bug is. The firm is Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd. So they're the ones behind it. They're representing the so-called plaintiffs in the Trump University case. If Trump becomes president, Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd should fuel up the Gulf Stream on November 8th. The day after the election, they should get an extra load of fuel delivered to the airports in San Diego, in the San Diego area. They should make sure there's enough fuel on hand for the 5 jets. Let's see, with the families and the baggage and the art, Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd, they need more than 5. They're going to have to fuel up a couple of other jets just for the loot. $675,000 paid to the Clintons for speeches. And the firm's founder is a wealthy San Diego lawyer who served 2 years sentence. Okay, we covered it. So what does that have to do with Trump? It has everything to do with it. Trump is facing some of the lowest bed bugs in the history of America. And these bed bugs is related to the federal judge presiding over the Trump University class action lawsuit. So what Trump said is rather mild. Imagine if Trump said what I just said. What if Trump actually went into a tirade against the bed bugs in the law firm? Can you imagine what ABC would be doing today? They'd have to take time out from worshiping Obama and Michelle to actually cover a story. My friends, it's getting worse by the day. You know, I'm going to tell you another story along the way. I don't know if it's directly related. It's not directly related, but it's somewhat collaterally related. I saw an article today, for those of you out there interested in fashion. It's got to do with race, too. Ralph Lauren to close 50 stores and cut jobs in a bid for profitability. I never pay attention. If I go to buy anything, I see Ralph Lauren has nice clothing. I don't buy it myself. I just don't wear that style. Let's put it that way. But he makes nice stuff. He has a nice design. But he's out of the business. He sold it a while ago. Mr. Lifkowitz, I think. So Ralph Lifkowitz sold his company and has been taken over now. And the new CEO, Stefan Larsson, is going to restructure the company to save $220 million over the next year. Why do you think Ralph Lauren is closing 50 stores? Well, I sent it to someone I know who's a genius in the youth market. He's so much smarter than me. He sent it back in one line. I sent him the whole article. He sent me back one line. He said, the reason is young people do not want logos. And Polo is all about logoed clothing. New generation wants to look poor and to blend in. I'm like, my God, that was true. It's the Bernie generation. They want to wear like ripped clothing that looks like it came out of a giveaway bin. So why Ralph Lauren is losing money? The young want to look poor. Now that ties into what he then sent me after that when I said that was a brilliant observation. This again goes to the case with Trump and the wall and the judge and the curial and the bedbugs. This comes from an insightful Caucasian young man who is an expert on the youth of today. And he said, after 8 years of Michelle and Barry's race baiting, all America's youth have been taught rich bad, white bad. They hate anything that's expensive, like a logoed item, an expensive watch, an expensive car, all considered bad. The poor look is good. Socialism is good. Everyone's equal. All genders are equal. Male is especially bad. Female is now pretty bad. The only thing acceptable is a non-attractive transgender. That's what he said to me. That's what's now considered the best of American society. He said the world has crumbled after 8 years of Michelle and Barry's constant harping and hating. And the youth that are white, strong, pretty, and wealthy are now hated. That's what he said. Don't blame me. You can blame him if you want. Now, if what he sent to me was off the wall, I wouldn't read it to you. But he's 100 times smarter than anyone listening to the show. That's why I read it to you. Maybe you can learn something. You know, maybe you could actually learn something listening to me. Is it possible maybe you don't know everything? Is it possible that the man you've come to hate actually is smarter than you? Maybe I know things you don't know. Maybe I actually see things that you don't know because your mind has been blinded by the herd mentality. Is it possible that I, as an independent, actually see things as they are? And that maybe, just maybe, that's why I'm number one in streaming talk radio? Is that why I'm number one with ratings double that of Rush Limbaugh in talk streaming rating? I'm allowed to say it. Who else is going to tell you that? Why is my show number one in streaming radio with a 27 share of the market to Rush's 15 or 16? Why? Someone's listening to me. Why am I number one if you look at the ratings on WABC in New York at, in the day part? Why is the show number one on that station? Someone in New York likes me. They're not listening to me just because I'm a clown. It's because I reflect the realities of the world in a world filled with liars and drug addicts who don't even know what's real and then sell it as the truth. In that sense, I have a value in society. And if you care to debate me or join in this conversation, the phone number is unfortunately of no value to you because there's no room to get on the show. However, when I return, we will continue to ask you, the listener, whether you think Trump needs to apologize what he said about Judge Curiel, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage, 77 WABC.
It's the story that I witness every single day. When I wake up in a house that was built by slaves, and I watch my daughters.
All right, stop.
Two
stop
beautiful already. Black.
Stop, stop already. Every day, built by slaves. This family has so divided America and so pitted people against each other, it's hard to believe that not indicted as war criminals. Yeah, I never saw anything like it. The country is more divided now than it was in the 60s because of these two manipulators. Why would a rich woman like her, who is the most powerful woman in the world, have to get up like a victim every day and remind us about something she has never personally experienced? That would be... Again, I have to do equivalencies. As a trained scientist, everything is an equivalency in order to understand things. Sometimes you have to do another. People don't understand what I'm saying to them. It would be sort of if a Jewish family was the president. A president was a Jewish guy and his wife was Jewish. And if this Jewish lady got up at a commencement address and she got up and only talked about with a hurt, broken voice about the Holocaust, people would say, you know, we heard enough about it already. Stop. Stop already. Stop inflicting that upon us. First of all, you never experienced the Holocaust yourself. Secondly, there's been a compensation for the Holocaust victims. Thirdly, yes, it was terrible and we don't want it to happen again, but it's not an appropriate thing to bring up at a graduation. Why must you constantly use race as a weapon to divide children? You'd hear that. I can give you other examples. But, you see, because they're the Obamas, they walk on water. You know, she wakes up every day and she witnesses a house that was built by slaves. I wake up every day and when I open my eyes, I see a house that's ruled by a poodle. Teddy and me, Confessions of a Service Human. I think later on I'm going to just change the tempo and read you one chapter where I talk about all my other dogs. Tippy, Woody, Willie, Bandit. Everyone has dogs in their life. Snowy, the little Lassie. And now Teddy, I love the picture of me with the clicker on the couch with the dog, my favorite time of day. Anyway, but that's later. In the next hour, for those of you who are interested, I'm going to have a list of those who are attending the Bilderberg meeting. Ooh! 9 to 12 June. That's how they do it in Europe. You don't say June 9 through 12. You show you're very sophisticated. Germany, 9 through 12 June. Dresden, Germany, the 2016 Bilderberg meeting listing. I have all the list of participants. Now, as you'd expect, it's mainly bankers, but there's a lot of columnists. I've not seen this before. In other words, the scribes are there. Pretty well-known scribes, hacks really to me. And then a U.S. senator, of course, a Trump hater is there. The Bilderbergs, the secretive group that runs the world. I'll tell you. Hush, hush, right here on the Savage Nation. Who's at the Bilderberg meeting? Be here. Or be a big dummy.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Never a Beach Boy guy. He's always like, think of me in black and white and slush with galoshes going to work. They were a different breed. There's like the white guys from California, tall, blonde. They never worked. Nothing bothered them. They couldn't get heart attacks. They could never get a heart attack, those guys, in my mind. Right? It's like, nah, they don't get it, those tall guys out on the West Coast. They surf, and they got a lot of blonde girlfriends. They never get heart attacks. They just live forever. I don't know. Like they're from another universe. Well, of course, that was a fantasy. And that's what we're talking about now. Michelle Obama has a fantasy that she's actually an oppressed minority. So every speech she gives is about being an oppressed minority. And she doesn't understand how ludicrous it sounds. It just doesn't fit her. And then today, former GOP presidential loser, Ted Cruz, remember him? Remember Cruz, that guy, Lion Ted? Remember that guy named Cruz? Remember he was like, almost, and then there was Kasich, another one, remember him? Today they attacked Trump over his comments about the judge handling the Trump University case, where Trump said that the judge's ethnicity is a conflict of interest. And it is a conflict of interest. Not because of his ethnicity. That's not what he said. If I have the sound bites, and we're going to play the next one of Trump, where he says the judge in the Trump U case is unfair, not because he's of Mexican heritage, but because of his associations with racist groups like La Raza Lawyers Association, etc. These are biased organizations. Anyone who joins any kind of these ethnic, you know, this is something that always bothered me. How could, if you had a white lawyers association, Caucasian judges association, national, Caucasian prosecutors association, people would say that's a racist group like the Ku Klux Klan. But if Judge Curiel belongs to the San Diego La Raza Lawyers Association, the Hispanic Bar Association, the Latino Judges Association, the National Hispanic Prosecutors Association, of course there's a bias in the judge and he should recuse himself. That's what I think. And then if you tie it in a step further to the bedbug law firm that is representing the so-called plaintiffs in the Trump University case, it's a no-brainer. You throw it out. The bedbugs at Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd. These bedbugs are clearly gonoffs of the highest order, in my opinion. Not because they paid $675,000 to the Clintons for speeches, that they're in a long line of people lining up to pay the Clintons off. And, you know, they're giving them the money not because they want anything. Why would anyone give the Clintons $675,000 for speeches? It's not because they expect anything in return. It's because the speech that is given by Bill Clinton is so brilliant that it supersedes everything any human being has ever heard before. Everything that comes out of Bill Clinton's mouth for that $675,000 is so brilliant and so memorable that the lawyers come away with an increased IQ. Their minds are so expanded from listening to Bill Clinton that $675,000 is well worth it in terms of how more brilliant the lawyers become. That's why they give the money, not because they expect anything for the money. What are you kidding? What world are you living in? And just because the law firm that is representing the so-called complainants in the Trump University law case, just because the class action law firm was founded by a wonderful individual who served 2 years in federal prison for his role in a kickback scheme to gather plaintiffs for class action lawsuits, doesn't mean there's anything wrong. It's perfectly legal. It's legal, so therefore it's good. If it's legal, it's good, right? See, everything that's legal is good, isn't it? If they write the laws, so therefore it's legal. To me, class action lawyers, I told you, are lower than bed bugs. And class action lawyers, in my opinion, if Trump becomes president, he should appoint a special counsel to investigate the entire class action legal world and then see what he can do to close them down and seize their assets before they fuel up their Gulf Streams. 855-407-282. There's one open line, no. There's one open line, not. There's no open lines on the Savage Nation when I'm here, and I'm here. I came back from vacation for today and tomorrow because of the primaries, California, Montana, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, North Dakota, South Dakota, but it's a given already. I mean, I could make a big deal of it, but that's what the news groups do. They make you sit on the edge of your seat with a clock. And a Wolf Blitzer without a clock and a pair of glasses, what would he be? They're running a clock already when the doors close in the primaries, like you don't know the results already. Like it's spinning every second. You're waiting for you're biting your nails for the finish. It's the Preakness. This is the biggest race in history. You know already who's running right now. Well, we don't really know. See, that's the thing is we don't know. We know Trump's going to be on the Republican side. We think. Even that's up in the air because Paul Ryan, the quisling of the Republican Party, attacked him already today for the remarks. I don't even know what remark he said. That I'm looking for it. Was searching for anything racist in the remark. I can't find it. We spent hours. Four people were looking for the remark that has the whole Republican Party and the entire blogosphere insane. We can't find it. Listen to what Trump actually said in clip three. Tell me if this is so bad. I don't get it.
He's a member of a club or society, very strongly pro-Mexican, which is all fine. But I say he's got bias. I want to build a wall. I'm going to build a wall. I'm doing very well with the Latinos, with Hispanics, with the Mexicans. I'm doing very well with them, in my opinion. And we're going to see. You're going to see. Because you know what? I'm providing jobs. Nobody else is giving jobs. But just so you understand, this judge has treated me very unfairly. He's treated me in a hostile manner. And there's something going on.
Right. And the judge has to recuse himself, period, end of story. It's a biased case, end of story. The law firm is a biased law firm. They're biased towards the Clintons. They gave him $675,000 for speeches. Bingo. Out of the... It's over. Trump is right. And by the way, he's going to win. I guarantee you they're going to get a new judge in this Trump U case. As I sit here, despite what you hear, it's going to be another battle he's going to win. It's the Clintons' fingerprints all over this attack on Trump. As you'd expect. As you'd expect. We've heard more about one little hint at Mexican heritage, not one word anymore about the emails and the spies that were laying dead in shallow graves with leaves over them and forests all over the Eastern Europe. Not one word about the emails and the damage. That's all gone. All the scandals surrounding the Clintons are gone already. It's all about one utterance. And all of a sudden, you forgot them all already. So if you care to comment on any of this, go ahead, make my day. But I promised you, the Bilderberg attendees in this hour, and I'm going to read them in a while because it's not that interesting. I mean, when you look at it, you say, what are the Bilderbergs? Bilderberg. It's like a whole right-wing thing. Oh, Bilderbergs. The Bilderbergs. It sounds so amazing. Like there's a group of people who secretly run the world. Yeah, well, not even secretly. Secretly, we know who they are. What do you mean secretly? They're the ones who pick the presidents. Secretly. They run the banks, mean they run the economy, so naturally they're going to want to be interested in who runs the countries. What do they want some homeless bum to run the world? They think they want Sanders to run the world. If you ran banks all over the world, would you want a bum like Sanders who never held a job in his life to be the president of the United States? Would you want a bum like Sanders who has a wife who's under investigation for bank fraud to be running the United States of America? Of course not, if you remember the Bilderberg. It makes sense to me. I mean, that's one group I'd like to be invited to. I'd love to go to a Bilderberg meeting, but they didn't pick me. I wouldn't go anyway. I don't fly that far. I don't like going to Europe. If the Bilderberg meeting was in San Francisco in North Beach near an Italian restaurant I like, or in a private club that I join, I would consider going. But what am I going to get out of it? I don't understand the big deal of going to the meeting. What, do you want to see Henry Kissinger in a rumpled suit after flying 12 hours? I mean, okay, you want to go to a Bilderberg meeting to meet Lindsey Graham who's there. Could you imagine that sourpuss? He's there. I'll read another name. I got the list. Hey, wait, this is the weird part. Okay, Henry Kissinger. Wow. You could rub shoulders with Henry Kissinger. How exciting. Who else is there? Now, here's the odd part. For the first time that I've been studying the Bilderbergs, Peggy Noonan is there. Columnist for the Wall Street Journal. Speechwriter for Reagan. What is she doing there? Can anyone tell me why there are suddenly, quote, journal commentators there? Robert Rubin, Counsel on Foreign Relations. Anyone know who he is? Raise your hand if you remember the name. Robert Rubin, is at the Bilderberg meeting. He was the Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton, the worst in history. Robert Rubin was one of the worst. Well, I wish I could use the right word, but it's a family show. I'm not in a barroom. Robert Rubin. Okay, let's leave it at that. He's there. Let's put it to that. He's now the co-chair of the Council on Foreign Relations. See how it's all interwoven? Watch out for the interwoven directorships and Treasury Secretary and Bilderberg and CFRs. Who else is there? Peggy Noonan. I never liked her. I always thought she was overrated. Peggy Noonan is like arsenic and old lace. More of the old lace than the arsenic type. She reminds me of a fuddy-duddy with white gloves who no one listens to, but you know she's important. It's not, I'm sure she's a nice lady and can serve proper tea. I'm sure she's a perfect ladylike person in the Republican world. And I'm sure she probably despises me because I'm too rough around the edges. But that's not, I never met her. But then there are other people there from the world of the writings that I don't like. Ann Applebaum. I never heard of her. Columnist, Washington Post. Why would they invite columnists to the Bilderberg meeting? Why? You mean they don't need propagandists for their cause? So that's why Ann Applebaum would be there. And I can read all the names. Then you got her, who I mentioned, whatever. Lindsey Graham. Oh, no. The other journalist here is... listen to this. I never heard a name like this. Hard to even say. Zanny Minton-Bedos. Who has a name like that? Editor-in-chief of The Economist. A lot of pseudo-intellectuals read The Economist on airplanes to make believe they're smart. They used to anyway. No one does anymore. But I remember when you'd fly a lot, these guys always had The Economist and folded it the proper way, and they would like read it like the Holy Grail. And you thought they were so smart. Anyone could read all that small print in a moving plane at 45,000 feet must really be smart. But The Economist, I used to read it when I was a young graduate student. I thought it was smart. It would help me figure out what the world of finance and news. It did. After a while, it became nothing but a left-wing brag. It may as well be a college newspaper. Who was Great Britain, Zanny Minton-Bedos, editor-in-chief of The Economist, another scribe. But then there are some people who I do like there. That's the odd part. They have to throw them in to the Bilderbergs to throw you off. David Petraeus, chairman KKR Global Institute. That's because KKR is a buyout firm. I don't know where they are politically, but Petraeus is a great man. I don't know what he's doing there. Peter Thiel, USA President, Thiel Capital, he's there. I mean, I'm reading names you may know. The others you wouldn't know. Martin Wolf, Financial Times, okay. Guy Standing, co-president, research professor, University of London, never heard of him. See, you don't know these names. So these are the secret people who run the world, and there's so much power around the name Bilderberg in the right wing. Bilderberg. And I know why it happened. Because, and I hate that, I just said it before so I could say it again. It's not actually because the Bilderbergs are powerful and run things behind the scenes. It's because it sounds Jewish. I'm not trying to do a Lenny Bruce. It's a town in Germany. It's not even to do with Jews, but because the anti-Semites think anything to do with Jewish is somehow secretive and that Jewish people have secret powers. Robert, am I right about, I know I'm right about that, Jim. 100%. Say Bilderberg. It's them again, huh? No, that's what it is. There's a lot of racism in that, huh? They don't even know what it is. Oh, the Bilderbergs. Yeah, I know them, right? Yeah, they're running the world. But that's what it is. So this goes back to the whole thing with Trump and the judge in a certain way. Everyone has inherent racial biases. So to the right winger who thinks the Jews run the world, when you say Bilderberg, they think it's about Jewish people, when it isn't. That's number one. And it's the same with Trump and the Mexican judge thing. He wasn't saying that inherently because he's of Mexican heritage, he's biased. He's saying because the guy, number one, is a member of all these La Raza groups, which is a racist organization in the minds of anyone who understands this. And the law firm is a goddamn law firm that seeks class action lawsuits for reasons you can well understand. It's a biased case. Having said that, I don't know the actual case of the Trump U. I just want an unbiased as you can get in a judge. That's what I ask for. Then I'd like to hear the results, the actual case. What are they complaining about? They went to school, didn't become a millionaire? Well, that's Trump's fault? There are probably people who went to school and did well. These dummies couldn't get out of the starting gate anyway. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage, 77 WABC.
War and peace issues are obviously of enormous consequence. And this is a guy who, he's attacking this one, and he's attacking, ugly words about people. No, he does not have the temperament. Is it possible that something will get him angry and he may want to get us involved in a war? Yeah, I think that is a possibility.
Oh, God. Who would you rather have as commander-in-chief if you're in the military? A broken-down socialist heap from New York's Lower East Side, come Vermont, or Donald Trump? Donald Trump could lead armies. Colonel Sanders couldn't lead a chicken out of a coop. He's telling us that Donald Trump's the bad one. Don't call it from the military. I know it. They're going to love Trump as commander-in-chief. Love him. But let's go back to the big issue. Ryan slams Trump over a racist comment about American judge. It was not a racist comment. Ryan is a quisling backstabber. Trump is questioning a judge fairness because of his Mexican heritage. He's right. And it's not just because of his Mexican heritage. It's because the judge belongs to extremely biased organizations. San Diego La Raza lawyers, Hispanic bar, Latino judges, National Hispanic Prosecutors Association. These are advocacy groups that defend illegal aliens in court. Trump wants to build a wall. That's why Trump questions the judge's neutrality. Judge is right. Judge Gonzalo Curiel should be dismissed or disavow himself immediately. Whatever you want to say. Recuse, sorry. You use a correct word. Excuse me. Now, before we get on to that, and we're running so short of time, I have so much I have to play. We have to play another Michelle Obama. Clip 8, you got to hear this. They don't look in the mirror. The Obamas don't look in the mirror. Listen to this one.
I have seen how leaders who rule by intimidation, leaders who demonize and dehumanize entire groups of people often do so because they have nothing else to offer.
You mean like your husband?
And I've seen how places that stifle the voices and dismiss the potential of their citizens are diminished.
Wait, excuse me. Your husband didn't try to intimidate conservatives? You
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7...
Not long ago.
Here in America, we don't give in to our fears. We don't build up walls to keep people out because we know that our greatness has always depended on contributions from people who were born elsewhere but sought out this country and made it their home. From innovations like Google and eBay to inventions like the artificial heart, the telephone, even the blue jeans, to beloved patriotic songs like God Bless America, like national landmarks like the Brooklyn Bridge and, yes, the White House, both of which were designed by architects who were immigrants.
So he's comparing a Zika-infected mother from Honduras with Albert Einstein. In other words, every Zika-infected baby being brought in now, every poor child is going to be another Einstein. They're going to invent Google. I don't know who writes these things. Did they play them? Does she ever have anyone say, how does it sound, before I go out there to a speech? People are going to laugh at me. No, we do build walls. Every nation on earth has built a wall, going back to ancient China. Chinese built a wall to keep out the Mongols who were threatening to overrun their nation and to destroy their culture and conquer them. That's why the wall was built. If you want to talk about other other nations, let's look at China. China built a wall because the Mongols were a warlike tribe of people, and they were threatening their borders. So they built a wall. Every nation on earth had a wall. Actually, they're called borders, Michelle. I don't think you took science in any of your studies along the way to be a brilliant lawyer like your husband. But if you had taken even elementary science, Mrs. Obama, you would have studied the cell. The basis of all life is the cell. Animal life, plant life, they all have cells. And in every cell that you look at every cell on earth under a microscope. In the plant world, it's a cell wall. Now, why did nature evolve a cell wall? Why didn't they have no walls? Why did nature make it so that the body had no cell walls, so that all these happy cells can blend together? Cells of the pancreas could blend with cells of the brain. Cells of the intestine can blend with the cells of the eye. Wouldn't that be a great multicultural body? Just blend all the cells together. See, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be fair to make the brain cell equal to the cell in the colon? That's what you're saying. The reason that nature evolved walls is because there's a differentiation in the utility of the various cells and organs to which they are applied or a part of. The same in a cell. A plant cell has a cell wall. Animal cell has a cell membrane, Mrs. Obama. And maybe you skipped that in Community Organizing 101. But the reason nations have had walls and need walls is to create an integrity of the citizenry. To protect the citizens. To protect the citizenry. To protect their language and their culture. And the whole meaning of that nation. Mrs. Obama, as smart as you are, you sound like you're an ignoramus. Every nation on earth has had a border until people like you came along with the manipulators at the Bilderberg Conference who are trying to erase the borders for reasons to do not with the sanity or sanctity of the nations or even the security of the nations or the survival of the nations, but simply to increase profits by bringing in cheap labor and those who will vote in socialists like you and your husband, Mrs. Obama. So you see, some of us actually have a historical knowledge and we know what you're saying and we think that it's awful that someone of your power would pretend that you're so oppressed. I remember when I was young, I read Bertrand Russell, great mathematician and philosopher, and he wrote an essay that I was particularly fond of when I was 18 entitled The Superior Virtue of the Oppressed. Now, I was a young liberal college student at the time. I read everything I could get my hands on that made sense. And Bertrand Russell wrote that essay, and it caught my attention. The Superior Virtue of the Oppressed. I didn't know what he was saying. And what he was saying is that there's a myth that oppressed people have superior virtue. And I said, oh, okay, I get it. This is one of the great minds of our, you know, of the last century. Of course it's absurd to think that if a person is oppressed, they have great mind, that there's something great and inherently great about them just because they're oppressed. And then I read a novel by Somerset Maugham, a name long forgotten. He was a great popular novelist from England. And in his writings, he said he was a medical student before he became a popular author. And that he noticed that, he said, people think that there's a certain nobility in poverty. And that people who are poor have a certain nobility. So the exact opposite is true. He said in his experience working in the poorest hospitals in London, he said the poor had no nobility. Basically, he said the only people who had the ability to have any nobility were the rich or people with money. They could afford to give money away and be noble. He said the poor were struggling for basic necessities and they had no chance to even be noble. So this whole concept that oppressed people are going to lead the nation is absurd. It's stupid. It's a defiance of reality. But there she goes. Again, class warfare, race warfare. And now we're focused on a little mild comment by Donald Trump to bring it back home in this little jazz piece by Miles Davis Savage. Hey, do you have any Miles Davis to break up the tempo? The piece I love from a couple of weeks ago, you won't find it. This is the Savage Nation, and we're talking about this big thing today. House Speaker Paul Ryan, they're all attacking Trump for questioning a judge's fairness because of his Mexican heritage. And then he says that this is a textbook definition of a racist comment. You know, the word racist today is equivalent to the word communist in the 50s. You talk about a blacklist? Are you now, or have you ever been, ever in your life, accused of being a racist? Please step forward, Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump, are you now, or have you ever been a member of the racist party? That's what they used to do in the 50s. Are you now ever been, or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party? That's what they used to do, communist, blacklisting. So now the bed bugs on the left are using the new equivalent of the word communist, which is racist. That's the new dirty word. Racist, right? Ooh. How do you know if someone's racist? How do we know whether a person who's accusing others of being a racist is not a racist? How do we know that members of La Raza are not racist? How do we know that certain senators are not racist? Of any ethnicity. How do we know that the president is not a secret racist or that the first lady is not a secret racist? I know they're shocking and they're hurt because they say, that's impossible. How could you even suggest that? Well, let's look at the associations. Al Sharpton, in and out of the White House, I don't know how many hundreds of times. Al Sharpton's a known race hustler. Known, well-known, established. Why would they have him in the White House? In and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. What were they conversing about? Albert Einstein's philosophies? The physics of Albert Einstein? The theory of relativity? The ice flows of the Arctic? What do you think Al Sharpton was doing there with the family? Well, you could figure it out. So don't tell me all of a sudden this one little statement by Trump supersedes everything that's been going on for 8 years by this administration. And I believe that Trump's brash remark about the judge, maybe it wasn't politically correct, and whatever. He doesn't have the nuance. I know why he doesn't have the nuance. That's why you all love him. And that's why he probably will be president unless they hurt him or steal the presidency. I know that I said that, but I had a dream about it. It's awful. We know what happened down there with the foundation folk. We know about the airplane crashes, the deaths in prisons, the suicides with guns around a thumb. We know the whole history of it. That's all been forgotten by the geniuses in the media. And we're all worried about Don Donald. Let me explain something about why he is the way he is, in my opinion. And again, it's from an outsider looking in as a social observer. I'm a social observer. That's what I do. And then I try to translate for you what I say. Why is Trump so politically, I want to use the right word, insensitive? Let's put it to you that way. He could have said the same thing in a more sensitive, nuanced manner that would have said the same thing that would not have set off a firestorm, right? But he didn't, because he speaks out loud. He thinks out loud and speaks the way I do on radio. So he's a born communicator. In other words, it's easy in a world filled of double talkers and liars and focus group statements to not believe anything anybody says. And yet, as I've said to you all these years on radio on this show, Hemingway said it best when he said the truth has a certain ring to it. So the reason so many people are attracted to Trump is that he says things, there's bad syntax, no grammar, jumbles things together, and yet he makes his point. Why is this? Because he's stupid or uneducated? The opposite is true. That's not why he speaks that way. He speaks in shorthand. I tried to explain that to you once before. Let me explain the world he comes from. He doesn't come from the world of politics, so therefore his statements are not political. That's A. You've got to know that. Write it down. I'll give you a textbook look into the mind of a business powerhouse. And so in other words, he speaks in short. His mind is moving so quickly that he speaks in symbolic language. It's a symbolic language that he uses. So he puts words together that don't connect necessarily. However, when you assemble the words into the statement that he's making, the picture is one that he's trying to project to you. Now, where did this come from? He's a builder. Build buildings. Buildings, buildings, buildings. Think of the landscape of Manhattan, for example. Everyone can see Trump Tower, Trump this, Trump that, Trump Hotel here, Trump this, that. So the man has to deal with people in the construction trades, building trades. Those are the people who pour the cement. Those are the people who bring in the steel. Those are the truckers who truck in these long pieces of steel. They make them somewhere. They don't make them in Brooklyn. They bring them in from somewhere else. They bring them in by truck, right? You ever see them come in by truck? These long 60-foot whatever lengths of steel, girders to build a building? They come from somewhere. So now he doesn't supervise every iota of the construction. But if he is putting together a deal to build a building, he's got to, first of all, oversee the purchase of all of the buildings in a large block of land in a very, very crowded neighborhood of Manhattan. He's got to deal with the tenants associations, the lawyers. He's got to get the people to either get out or somehow force them out, one way or the other. He's got to deal with the unions who are in total control of the cement. Not a bucket of cement is poured into a foundation in Manhattan unless you're dealing with the people who control the cement. He's got to deal with those people. So he's learned the hard way how to communicate more directly than you may imagine. He doesn't have time to sound like he went to Yale. He didn't go to the Skull and Bones Club where they dressed up as girls and sang, you know, Hail Mary or whatever they did. But the thing is, he speaks like a street guy because he's talking to people from the street. So therefore, we understand him. Because most of us didn't go to we were not members of the Skull and Bone Society. We don't speak in elusive allegorical terms about what we want, what we're saying. We don't hint. People who speak the way he speaks and I speak, we don't hint. We don't hint. We don't have hint. There's no hint gene in Michael Savage. There's no hint gene in Donald Trump. We don't hint. Don't have time for hinting. You want to hint and hem and haw and ha and hey and who and who and maybe and I would think and perhaps. And if it were possible, perhaps it would. No one talks that way in the world that he's in. You want to get a building done. You know what you would build if you talked that way? Nothing. You wouldn't be able to build a 6-foot wall in a suburban house if you talked that way. You got to steamroll over this situation to get something done. But he didn't just get one building done. Can you imagine if you even built one skyscraper, what you'd feel like? Well, think how many he built. So you say, I'm an apologist. From some apologist, no, I'm explaining to you how he thinks and how he speaks. And he is the exact medicine that America needs right now. We need someone plain speaking, someone who says it like it is, says what we're all thinking, offends people if necessary, because people need to be offended, I got to tell you. We must be offended. Michelle doesn't fear offending us with her outcries every other day. Barack doesn't care if he offends us every day with his statements. So Donald Trump offends us in another way. But let's get down to brass tacks. The judge, he has to recuse himself now. The lid has been blown off La Raza. Now what, in my opinion, needs to be done, and I don't know if the Trump people still listen to me at all, but I know he was on last week after a long hiatus. They need to double down on the judge's curious associations with La Raza. Curious associations with La Raza. That would be I'd hire like people to put out articles. You know, around the clock, articles. Judge's curious associations with questionable group. Around the clock. That guy would jump out off this case faster than you could say phony baloney. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey.
Savage, 77 WABC.
I regret those comments that he made. I don't think claiming a person can't do their job because of their race is sort of like the textbook definition of a racist comment. I think that should be absolutely disavowed. It's absolutely unacceptable.
All right, Paul Ryan, we know which side you're on. You're working for Hillary Clinton. Welcome back to Savage Nation. So, again, are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party? That was the 1950s. And now, in the year 2016, it's are you now or have you ever been guilty of thinking or expressing or hinting at a racist viewpoint? So Trump's statement, yeah, you could interpret it as racist. I don't interpret it as that. He's talking about bias, not so much race. And again, the judge, Judge Curiel's associations with the San Diego La Raza Association, Hispanic Bar Association, Latino Judges Association, National Hispanic Prosecutors Association, those are biases. And the judge needs to recuse himself. And as I pointed out, because the great article in WorldNet Daily very, very clearly describes the San Diego law firm that's bringing this lawsuit against Trump. It's a class action lawsuit, and the firm bringing it is Robbins, Geller, Rudman, and Dowd. They gave $675,000 to the Clintons for speeches. Bingo. And number two, bingo, the founder of that law firm served 2 years in federal prison for his role in a kickback scheme to mobilize plaintiffs for class action lawsuits, according to this article by Jerome Corsi. So, my friends, the issue is not what Trump said. It's who Judge Curiel is, who put him there, what he represents. And moreover, the case itself, what are they saying? They went to a real estate course by Donald Trump and they didn't become a millionaire? What does that mean? Have you never gone to driver's school and not been able to drive a car? Have you gone to pilot school and then found out you couldn't fly a plane? Not everyone goes to school and becomes a genius. Comes out a winner, rather. Some people don't have the aptitude to be a real estate investor. So this is a ludicrous case. It's a shakedown by these class action bedbugs. I'm Michael Savage. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We talk about garbage. You can go crazy from this every day. So here I am back talking about the Mexican judge Fuhrer. And Trump says he's the victim as he makes desperate bid to end Mexican judge Fuhrer by insisting he was misconstrued. But now they're all attacking him. All of the cowardly Republicans are jumping ship and stabbing him in the back. All the cowardly, phony Republicans who never should have been elected to begin with, who were against him before they were for him and now are against him again. The exact people we hate. The fake politicians, right? I am very clear on this. I didn't hear any racism. I think he employs enough Mexican people or Hispanic people to clearly show that as an American employer, he's as unbiased as anyone. And the judge in this case should recuse himself because he's not impartial. The judge belongs to all these La Raza groups. The law firm bringing the class action lawsuit is the lowest of the low in my estimation. And the founder of that law firm, as I said to you, it's very important you hear this. You want to talk about integrity. The lawyer who founded this law firm bringing the class action lawsuit against Trump University served a 2-year sentence in federal prison for his role in a kickback scheme to mobilize plaintiffs for class action lawsuits. I'm sorry. As far as I'm concerned, Trump has nothing to apologize for. And I support him. I still support him. It's that simple. But if you don't, go ahead. Tell me why. What do you want? This to end this campaign? Why are you more excited over one utterance of Donald Trump than all of the emails that Hillary Clinton passed around the world and put all of our spies in danger? Why? Because there's a biased media and a tricked up country. That's why. The whole nation's tricked up. That's why I go to something pure like music to straighten my mind out. Sometimes when I'm confused, I listen to Star Eyes or Bloom Dito. Do we have another Charlie Parker to sue the audience out there? That'll take an hour. How come I listen to Charlie Parker? Do I look at his race to see who he is before I pick up the CD? Did I even know what his race was when I first heard him as a kid in Manhattan driving over the Queensboro Bridge going into Manhattan? I didn't know who Charlie Parker was. I didn't know what race he was. All I know was the greatest sax I ever heard in my life. Could have been an Irishman, for all I knew, Charlie Parker, but he wasn't. He's African-American. There you go. But now we have a president. Everything is through the lens of race. A media. Everything is through the lens of race. A little louder, please. I can't even hear. I feel like I need a hearing implant. Now, this isn't good for talk radio. Wrong piece. It gets better later. Anyway, my friends, we're living in very, very dangerous times, very dangerous waters. And I wish life was as simple as that. You know, I could talk about jazz for an hour, I'd be happier. What it meant to me, what it means to me. It's funny, I was coming back in my life now to save my mind from the horrors of the world. I mean, you talk about Brando in that movie. I forget the name of the movie where he goes upriver in that great movie. Apocalypse Now. The horror. Sometimes I feel like a submarine commander who has to stay below water, and every once in a while I come near the surface and raise my periscope and I look around and I do 360 and I immediately pull the periscope down and say, dive, 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 the horror, the horror, the horror. It is so horrendous out there. After 8 years of this racist president of ours baiting one person after another, attacking his political enemies with the power of the government, using every trick in the book to put forth laws that have diminished the power of this nation, and we're supposed to look away and talk about Trump's uttering one word about a judge who's biased against them. No, my friends, the law is clear on this. Mike on WVNN Radio, thank you for listening and calling the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Mike?
Michael, I sent you a copy of the California Judicial Ethical Code that specifically would mandate this judge getting out of the case because of his affiliation. And you've got him listed on your Facebook. In fact, it goes further than that because La Raza was one of the groups that was funded by the Department of Justice, as I like to call them, and they were mandated by, like you say, for Goldman Sachs and Bank of America to actually give funds to them at a 50% settlement of their settlement that they had for the...
Let's stick to the case. You're saying that the judge should recuse himself because, according to the law, he is biased. Now, you said you sent it to my Michael Savage Facebook page. Under what name, Mike? I'm looking for it right now.
Mike Siebert.
I don't see it. There are thousands of comments. It's very hard to find. And I'll look for it later, but I can't find it. 855-400-7282. This is the Savage Nation. I thank you for sending that, Mike. But I agree that the judge is clearly, he's not impartial. It's impossible. That's all. And if you want to talk about that, go ahead. I don't see any other big topic. The San Jose Trump rally where the mayor looked away and the police looked away and peaceful people at a place were beaten up. Beaten up by Mexicans holding Mexican flags. That's not as big a story as Donald Trump saying one word about a biased judge of Mexican heritage. We've already forgotten the Mexicans beating up women. You forgot them throwing eggs at a poor innocent woman. That didn't make it to the news. ABC's, oh, it was terrible. So, you know, the fact is Trump is right about so many things. And the globalists who are meeting at Bilderberg right now are very clear on this. That's why they have. I read you the list of people at the Bilderberg meeting. I did it in a comedic, a semi-sarcastic manner. But when I looked at the Bilderberg meeting, which is going on in Germany between the 9th and 12th of June, they're all there now. They've all flown in. They're having the pre-meetings. Glad-handing with Hank Kissinger is probably as the ruling, you know, deacon of the entire Bilderberg group. Hey, how you doing? Oh, bow down. But then I look at who's there, the Bilderbergs who run the world, and you've got columnists like Ann Applebaum, Washington Post. I never heard of a director of the Transitions Forum, Legatum Institute. Sounds like a butcher shop, Legatum Institute. Actually, it sounds like something else, but I'm not into Indian terminology. Then there's another one. A journalist here, Lily Gruber, editor-in-chief and anchor of Otto e Mezzo, LA 7 TV. Some unknown 15th generation, 15th down the list of a Hispanic channel in Los Angeles, they invite Lily Gruber. Then another one there that you'll know is Hank, oh no, he's not a journalist, is, I mentioned already, here, Bloomberg View columnist Megan McArdle, editor-in-chief Bloomberg, John Micklewaite, editor-in-chief, The Economist is there. And then, strangely enough, Peggy Noonan is there. Why is she there? Why is she rubbing shoulders with Robert Rubin and Peter Thiel and all of these globalists? What is she doing there? Why is Peggy Noonan there, a former speechwriter for Reagan? What's she doing there at the Bilderberg? So what I'm saying is, come on, you know what's going on here. They control it all. They control the press, and the press decides what to write after they're told what to write. So they've already forgotten the Mexican mobs beating up the attendees at the Trump rally. Now they're talking about a mild comment by Donald Trump about a judge who's trying to put him in, basically bankrupt him. What do you expect Trump to do? Say he's an unbiased judge? Of course he's going to fight back, and the judge is biased. End of story. But what's the biggest story? The Mexicans who beat people up and threatened everybody and waved Mexican flags in your country? Or Donald Trump uttering a mild phrase? Whose country is it anyway? What country do you live in, morons? I'd like to ask you if I had a radio show. 855-407-282. You want to sound off? Go ahead. Let's do it. Let's take some calls. I didn't take one yet. Well, I took one. WJR, Steve, go ahead, please. What's your topic?
Dr. Savage, it's an honor. I'm remembering back 45 years ago, high school biology. I believe it was phylum Nemathelminthes, which are nematodes and worms, parasite-type worms.
Wait. I asked for what's lower than a coelenteret. That's what class-action lawyers are. So what form of life is lower than a class-action lawyer, a coelenteret?
I think coelenteret translated into hollow gut. And
yeah.
But I believe nematodes might be lower than a coelenteret.
Oh.
Parasites.
Yeah, the nematodes could be down there in the earth. I haven't been there yet. I'll let you know. I'll get back to you at that point. Let me send you a copy of Teddy and Me since we're still above ground here. Confessions of a Service Human. It's something pleasant. Great Father's Day gift. Great Father's Day gift, but men are afraid of something nice. They're afraid to be seen as weak, to show their happy side. Why do so many big men own little dogs? I've noticed that for years. A lot of big guys carrying on a little dog because they have nothing to love. Women have become mean. I don't attack you, women. Don't make a report already, please. The women are tougher than the men. First of all, women are smarter than men to begin with. Now that they go to the gym, everyone's afraid of them. They're afraid to go near them. They're like superwomen. So people, the guys are getting bit little dogs instead. At least they could talk to them without getting bitten most. just joking around here. Play Charlie Parker for the fools out there who think everything needs to be reported to some central bureaucracy some here. Still walking around showing us they're behind? Don't they know when to stop and get off the stage? Instagram this, Instagram that. Like, I never saw a woman's body before. In the history of the world, she's the first one to ever walk around like that. What in the world is in their minds? It's like Leon DiCaprio is an expert on global warming. Same mentality. He has the same mentality on global warming as Paris Hilton. I said, Leon DiCaprio knows about as much about global warming as Al Sharpton does. Remember Al Sharpton's famous speech on global warming? That's just before they pulled him off the stage. The global warming is a fake. It was unbelievable. It worked in the minority race thing to do with global warming. It was astonishing. It was so bad that even Obama had to pull him off the stage. I think they dumped him off MSNBC after that. Unbelievable to me. Back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Now, after 8 years of Obama, when we thought that race was somewhat, the racial fires had been somewhat tamped down, along comes a guy who did more damage than the Black Panthers ever did. Every day, drip, 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 and the wife, drip, 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 associating with lowlifes like Al Sharpton. Look at the country today. Everything is about race. Everything and every question, every statement. Race, 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 race. A bunch of Mexicans riot just last week at a Trump rally, attack a woman, burn things, attack police. Waving Mexican flags in my country may be legal, but it's offensive, by the way. Burning American flags may be legal, but it's offensive, by the way. And the media, all these little empty boys, these little useless boys in the media don't say a word. Donald Trump utters one word about the judge, that he may be biased because he's a member of all these La Raza groups, and right away, the world is on fire. Now today is a new one. Anti-cop group burns American flag over death of black teen. See? Anti-cop group. Anti-cop group. Anti-cop dissenters burned an American flag outside a Staten Island police station in protest. Blah, blah, blah. They got nothing else to do. They don't work. They don't have a job. But they burn flags. Who funds all of these things? Who funds these groups? Who? Look at my website, michaelsavage.com. There's a guy who says he was funded by the George Soros Group. He's paid $3,500 to be one of the voters, one of the protesters. Ashley W. JJF Radio. Ashley, welcome to the program. Ashley, from which city are you calling?
I'm calling from Westerly, Rhode Island.
Okay, and what's your topic?
I used to support Bernie Sanders because my parents were Democrat progressives, and I wasn't very educated, so I decided I couldn't vote for Hillary. I was going to vote for Bernie. But you know what? I've been listening to you lately, and my husband's a roofer. And let me tell you something. The Mexicans came into this town and underbid every single contractor in this town and paid their illegal immigrants nothing, and now there's no work for the American people that live here. I have three kids.
Watch out, Ashley. You just said a racist thing. Michelle Obama may sick the Justice Department on you for making such an observation. Be careful, Ashley. You don't live in a free country anymore.
From this country.
No, you don't live in a free country anymore. Watch out. The Department of Justice may come down on you like they came down on everyone else who dares utter what reality is. So now it came home, and suddenly the Democrat and your family realized that he was digging his own grave in us, in essence, with his niceness.
Well, I'm not voting for Democrats anymore. I'm done. And I hope everybody else goes along with voting for Trump, because he's actually going to build a wall and keep these people out of America, taking our jobs.
Well, I guess you said it all. Watch out now. Be very careful. The DOJ may be listening. They could be monitoring the show. I'm joking. Ashley, we're living in very incendiary times. We know why. I take a chance every day by opening up a page of the Book of America. And I was sending you a beautiful book that's not political, Teddy and Me. Perfect for your husband for Father's Day. To get his mind off the fact that his roofing business has been stolen by illegal aliens. Yeah, right. All right, my friends, I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere. In California, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, North Dakota, South Dakota. The only wild card here is Sanders. And as you well know, the system is aligned against him. The corrupt Democrat Party's not letting him get the nomination. No one's going to... He's not getting it no matter what he does. And I don't want to say anything out of place here, but if I were talking to you in, you know, my own home, what I would say is something along the lines of, if God forbid he should ever get the superdelegates to vote for him, this guy would get a polonium knish sandwich. You know, that's all. A polonium knish would be on the way to him. He's not becoming the president. They're not letting it happen. She didn't work so hard to let this jerk become president. And the money attached, do you have any idea the money and power they're going to give it to this schnook, this Schmendrick? Wait till you see the scandals come out about him, if he ever really was a threat to her. I personally am shocked they even got this far. I'm shocked they let him get this far. I'm shocked they let him be taken this seriously. But I still stick by the position that he was handpicked to make her look more moderate. From the beginning. And the whole thing looks like a set-up argument between her and him. They always knew she was going to be the nominee. And he was used to look, wow, look what a radical really is. Not her. She's moderate by comparison. That's what I still think. To this day, I think it's a charade. I sense that. I don't think this is happening by chance that Schmendrick's still in the race. The Schmendrick, you know. Anyway, that's my position. It's one man's opinion. That's how I see it. The real issue here... what is today's date? I see if I can talk about June. Election is November. This is, how many months? Seven. Wait, July, August, never. I gotta do it my, I gotta count by hand like a, right? About 4 or 5 months. June to July to August to September to October. 5 months you're gonna vote for the next presidente of the Federal Republic of the United States of America, right? The Federales. You're gonna pick the head of the Federales. In the United States. So what is this election really going to be about? It's going to be about the scorched earth policies of Barry and Michelle. And what Barry and Michelle have done, they've left the scorched earth every day, burning everything behind them. And what must be done by Trump to save America. That, by the way, is the title of my last book in the series of books. It'll be out right after Labor Day. Scorched Earth, Michael Savage. Wait till you see this book. I don't know who's going to cover it. Doesn't matter who in the media touches it. I'm telling you, this is the most important book I've ever written. It's better than Government Zero. And many of you know how good that one is. You're going to want this book. It's not even on Amazon. I'm not selling it. All I got is a comp for a cover, which I'm arguing over already. Everything to do with publishing is a stress for me. But okay, I'm arguing over it. Scorched Earth. Like a retreating army that conquered a nation. The Obamas are leaving the nation in flames, social flames. And I document every step of the way what they have done from the get-go and what must be done by Trump when he becomes president. It's a must-read. You have to have it. It'll sell itself. This is something that's going to be as big as Facebook to the people in the political world. It's going to catch on immediately. I just know it. So I don't want to... You know, pre-talk about it. It's nothing to talk about. I don't have the book yet. You can't buy it. But I'm trying to tell you what this is all about. Every step of the way, it's scorched earth. Obama has conducted a scorched earth program. Look at the speeches that they're giving. Every day about slavery, about race, about wall, about this. What are they doing? They're destroying 50 years of progress. Don't you love how progressives are actually the regressives of our time? 50 years of progress between the races. I wouldn't say that everyone loved each other, but we got along. 50 years! scorched earth, making it go up in flames. 50 years going up in flames because of these two dangerous characters in the White House. I'll never forget. I wish I could get that for the book. I'm going to ask the publisher if they can get the... they'll never get permission. Just before the election, there was a cartoon, a caricature, rather, in The New Yorker, on the cover of Michelle and Barry. And it was meant to be a, you know, like a ridicule of right-wing views of them. But it actually was so accurate. It was a picture of them where she was seen with a bandolier over both shoulders and a machine gun in her hand like Angela Davis. And he was seen as a flaming Black Panther revolutionary. And that's what they said was how people saw them. But that's not who they really were. Well, that's who they are. That is who they are. It's as though Angela Davis and H. Rapp Brown took over America. That's what we have 8 years later, only they're so smooth at their act that people don't even notice it's being done to them. I notice it. I'm offended by it. I want my country back. I don't want racial haters in the White House anymore. We had enough of the Obamas, and look what they did to this country. So we have to correct the scorched earth policies they have conducted. Is that clear enough? Do you understand it? The country cannot survive Hillary Clinton. It will not survive Hillary Clinton. As I'm standing here, if many of you think that I can see things and I can see pretty far, she will cause havoc in this nation. The country will burn to the ground if she becomes president, because she will continue the policies, the scorched earth policies of the Obamas. Remember how it's worked for them. Look at how it's worked for these two people in the White House. Look what they get away with without a question. Look what they get away with by pitting race against race and making you think that it's about you when it's really about them and power. It's classic Machiavellian game playing here. You don't have to be a political scientist to know what they are. We cannot afford another one from the Democrat socialist machine. Look at that woman who called in the last segment, a roofing company in Rhode Island, I think. Lifetime Democrat, good liberal woman. Until she found out that the illegal aliens from Mexico underbid her husband and then used the illegal alien workers, and now her husband's almost out of business. That's a story for Donald Trump. Never mind exporting jobs to Mexico. Oh, no. It's not just sending jobs to Mexico. It's stealing businesses here in America. That's what he's talking about. Everyone knows it's going on. Ask all the people whose business has been ruined by cheap labor. And why is it happening? Who's letting it happen? Democrat Socialist Party USA. So, my friends, there's a very clear choice that you're going to have. And don't fall for the nonsense that Donald Trump's very mild statement about the judge is so bad. What's really bad are the Mexicans who rioted at one of his rallies last week. That's been swept under the rug by the very same people who are making what he said into a mountain when it's really a molehill. That's all. You want to hear the mountain? You want to know what the mountain is? The mountain is the rioting. The mountain is the jobs being stolen. The mountain is the diseases coming over the border. Those are the mountains you should be looking at, not the little anthills that they're talking about, you see. My friends, if you'd like to talk on the Savage Nation, I have one open line at 855-400-7282. Let's take a couple of callers. I believe we have time right now. KSFO, Ron, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael Savage. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to go buy your book on Tuesday, the first day it came out, to support the Savage Nation and your cause. So I went to Calabasas near my house, Barnes & Noble. I went all over the place, the Octagon, the other arrivals, and I couldn't see your book anywhere. So after 10 minutes, finally someone helped me. They didn't even take your books out of the boxes. I had to have someone go upstairs to get the book out and to bring it downstairs. And I asked, so when are you guys going to put this in the front? You know, this book came out today. And they said, well, whenever they get to it. So I was...
Well, let me explain this. The book Teddy and Me is out. It's on the Octagon and Barnes & Noble. The publisher paid for front placement right through Father's Day. It should be there now. Maybe it was just that they were tardy in doing it. I'm not going to look at a conspiracy. But I do know that there's a liberal bias in bookstore personnel, and there's no question for me to deny that. Everyone knows that. But I'm sending you a free copy. It's a lovely book for Father's Day. And by the way, thank you for supporting Teddy. He needs it. Yeah, he needs it. So stay on the line, my friends. Let's see now. Who do we have that's a good caller? I don't know if the callers are that important. All right, KBET, Las Vegas. Al, let's hear from Al. Al, what's up today?
I'm calling about the wall that Donald wants to build in year four. I don't think it'll work, and it's significant. What we really need to do is have adequate documentation paperwork. And the southern border is only part of our border. As you all know, you live on the western border, and people fly in all the time, stay in the United States, buy houses. I lived in Switzerland, and if you didn't have work papers, you stayed in a hotel, you could never buy a house. You couldn't even rent an apartment. And I think we should...
Well, the Chinese are buying up our farmland, which is a bigger problem than people imagine. No sane nation on earth sells off its the land under its food crop to a foreign nation that's semi-hostile. Only a nation that's conducting business like this, if you want to call it that, run by the worst people on the planet, would let that happen. You know, Canada doesn't let you buy more than 20 acres if you're not a Canadian citizen. 20 acres of farmland, did you know that?
Yeah, I studied in Canada as well. I know you know because you had it on your show a couple of years ago, but it was actually a man who migrated there from China who stopped the bootstrap baby law in Canada. And the United States is the only country that still has that, where if you're born here, you're automatically a
citizen. Right. Well, the first thing Trump needs to do is start the construction of the wall, eliminate the anchor babies loophole, needs to make sure that nobody can vote in this country unless they're a certified citizen with some kind of demand of a paperwork. Forget the Voting Rights Act. It's already in place. Everyone as a legal citizen can vote. We don't want people double voting, and we don't want illegal aliens voting. Barry has specialized in stocking the voter registration with non-citizens in order to warp the election and render our elections meaningless. He's conducted a crime against the voters in this country in his scorched earth policies. Thanks for the call. That brings us to 45 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Michael Savage, back from a little vacation. I was supposed to be off all week. I took one day in Los Angeles. I flew down Sunday. I was going to stay the week. I came back last night to be with you today because of the primaries tonight and because tomorrow that's what we have to talk about on the Savage Nation. And then we'll see what happens after that, okay? Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. You know, my friends, if you listen to my show long enough, you'll see that it's one long tirade against ignorance. I tell you that this age is an age of ignorance, which is quite bold, by the way, because the solenterates or nematodes who run the media would disagree with me. But it is an age of total ignorance. Every day I open a newspaper and I have to see pictures of girls' behinds next to a news story. Instagram of this one, Instagram of that one. It's an age of not only ignorance, but vulgarity, stupidity, and pornography. And it is bringing us backwards in time, not forwards. We're not going forwards. The ignorance of our time is reaching a new level. We're not increasing our knowledge of the world. We're decreasing it. Every day we decrease our knowledge. And frankly, it's a tirade against this ignorance and this vulgarity that drives me. It motivates me. It animates me. And I'm reaching out to my audience every day. And what am I saying to you? Stop being ruled by dogma and authority. You say, well, wait a minute, I'm a liberal. I'm not ruled by dogma and authority. I'm the opposite of that. You conservatives are ruled by dogma and authority. No, not at all, you ignorant fools. It's you liberals who are ruled by dogma and authority. You're pure, unadulterated slaves. You dare not step out from the dogma of your liberal church. And all I'm asking you to do is look at the world around you. And what are the sources of your ignorance, I ask myself every day? Your respect for authority, meaning what? Who is your authority? Who are your authority figures, all of you liberals? The Democrat Party? A few psychos in a room somewhere with a keypad? Who dictate to you what you should think about transgender bathrooms? And, of course, the ignorant crowd has long plagued men of sense. The ignorant crowd has been something that's plagued people of sense for ages. And then, of course, there's all of us. We have vanity. We're all unreachable. We're unteachable in many ways. Our dispositions are such that we are vain, proud, and unteachable, by the way. All of us, everyone is the same way. We're unreachable. We're vain, we're proud, we're unreachable. All of us. And that's almost impossible to overcome. But if we overcame them, do you know what waits for us in the future? 300 years from now, if we ever got there? If we could overcome the ignorance of the world, I could see a future for the planet that's overwhelmingly amazing. But it may take centuries to elapse before men come to understand the hidden power that we all have and the hidden power that mankind really has. So I'd like to help stir up men's and women's minds, or men's minds and women's minds, to be more educated and more independent of thought. That's what I'm really trying to do. And what do you think is helping me in my cause? The polemics of the Democrat Socialist Party, the wickedness of the Democrat Socialist Party, the persecution by the Democrat Socialist media machine. These are the things that are exciting you, the listeners, to doubt the authority of the nation and question and discuss fundamental things. Yes, that's what's happening. The polemics of the left, meaning the media, the chattering class, the polemics, the wickedness of the persecution of heretics like me. Yeah, it's very wicked what's been done to me. But I don't get up there and cry about it like Michelle Obama. Oh, I'm grown to house a slave. With the broken voice like she's suffering. I don't do that. I don't lean on your emotions to try and manipulate you. I try to use pure logic and reason. In that sense, I'm like the Francis Bacon of talk radio. And I'm not talking about a food product. If you ever went to college, you'll know who Francis Bacon is. I'm an utter rationalist at the end of the day. As emotional as I can be, I'm utterly very rational. Clear as a bell. When I'm clear, I'm very clear. And a strange thing happened to me today, and the show's coming to an end. I could start a whole other show, but I can't. My vision came back to me, my far-seeing vision. I don't mean with my eyes. I had never lost my vision. But for a while, I was not able to see far into the distance. I can see again, and I see very clearly. And I see the scorched earth that the Obamas are leaving behind me. And I see what must be done to save this nation after this radical pair leaves the White House, if they ever do. How we must repair this nation after they leave everything behind in flames. Well, that's it. I like to say have a nice day, but that's not the way it is. But this is the way it is today on the Savage Nation.